Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevan Zwelder.
In Mark chapter 2, we find a very interesting verse of Scripture in verse 17, but what I'd like to do is read from verse 14 up to the text so that you know the context. In Mark chapter 2, verse 14, we're speaking of Jesus Christ. As he passed by, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the receipt of custom and said unto him, "Follow me." And he arose and followed him. And it came to pass that as Jesus sat at meat in his house, many publicans and sinners sat also together with Jesus and his disciples, for there were many, and they followed him. And when the scribes and Pharisees saw him eat with publicans and sinners, they said unto his disciples, "How is it that he eateth and drinketh with publicans and sinners?" When Jesus heard it, he saith unto them, "They that are whole have no need of the physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." It is the last part of verse 17, "I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance," that we want to preach on today. You see, the Pharisees questioned the Lord's disciples, why Jesus would eat and drink with publicans and sinners. I mean, their thought is that if he is a righteous man, or if in fact he's the Messiah or God even manifest in the flesh, he certainly wouldn't eat with publicans and sinners, because eating with them would cause him to be defiled. And if he was any kind of king at all, if he was any kind of Messiah at all, if he was any kind of God manifest in the flesh, well, he certainly wouldn't defile himself with publicans and sinners. Well, the answer to the question the Pharisees raised, how is it that he eateth and drinketh with publicans and sinners, is easy. The answer is that the Lord calls sinners to repentance. Now, we're going to say four things about this call. And the first thing we're going to note from our text here is that the Lord calls sinners. You see, whenever dealing with people, it's hard for people sometimes to admit that they're sinners. It's like confessing a weakness whenever they want everybody to think that they're some kind of strong people, or some kind of righteous people, or some kind of good people. I remember years ago talking to a lady, and she was describing for me Brush Arbor meetings. Well, I was raised Catholic, and we had big church buildings in the towns we grew up in, and so the idea of a Brush Arbor meeting was absolutely foreign to me. And so she began to describe how they would go out into the country and cut down trees and use the trunks for columns, and they would use the larger limbs for joists and for rafters, and they would use the branches for roof, you know, a roof or shade or awning or the arbor, and then they would cut other logs and they would make the pews, and then they would hold a meeting, an extended or protracted meeting out in that arbor. People would come all from all over. And as she was describing the service, she mentioned something about a mourner's bench. And I asked her, I said, "Now, what in the world is a mourner's bench?" And she said, "That's the bench that was right there under the pulpit, or right in front of the preacher." And she said, "That's where all the sinners sat." And I said to her, "How in the world could you get anybody to admit that they were a sinner?" And she said, "Well, back then, everybody knew who the sinners were." And then she said this, "Even the sinners knew who the sinners were." Now, you know, that's a profound statement, because sinners often don't know that they're sinners. They get the idea that if you start having a conversation about salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ, that somehow they have to spruce themselves up and talk about the good things they do and sort of talk in a religious tone to make you think, well, I'm all right. But I need to tell you something. Jesus Christ doesn't call those that are all right, or those that are spruced up, or those who can voice some sort of a religious conversation. The Lord calls sinners. In other words, there's no need for you to clean up first and make yourself look presentable to the Lord whenever there's a discussion about salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. He knows what you are. He knows what you are better than you do. And the reason is, he looks on the heart. You are a man, and or you're a woman, and you're used to sizing up other people by what you see. And so you think that other people are going to size you up by what they see, and somehow or another you get the idea that the Lord is like people, and he's going to size you up by what he sees. And that's not true. He's going to size you up by what he knows, by what he sees in the heart. And because he knows what you've done and what you're thinking and what your motives are and what your thoughts are, that whole thing, it is important for you, when confronted by the Lord, to admit what you are and who you really are. Now, these Pharisees came as if they were high and mighty and holier than thou, and they ask the disciples, how is it that he eateth and drinketh with publicans and sinners? Well, you know, it turns out that the Pharisees were worse sinners than the publicans and sinners. But they didn't know it. They didn't know it because they kept looking at themselves and all their religious garb and their enlarged phylacteries and the enlarged borders of their robes and garments and the chief seats they held and the uppermost seats and all that kind of stuff. And they thought, well, we're somebody. But you have to understand, they are the ones who sought to destroy Jesus Christ. Well, that certainly makes them worse sinners than those who followed him. So when you're listening to this sermon today about Jesus Christ and his offer of salvation and what he's come to do to call you, consider the fact that you are a sinner. And then consider the fact that Jesus Christ really does care about sinners, and he really does care about sinners coming to him. You know, it's a well-worn song as an invitation song following preaching in a church service, but Just I Am is a very good song. Because he says, I'm not changing anything, I'm not sprucing up anything, I'm not going to try to fool myself into believing that I'm better than I am, I'm not going to try to fool anybody else into believing that I'm better than I am, and I'm certainly not going to try to fool the Lord into believing that I'm better than I am. I'm a sinner. And that may be a hard thing for you to confess, but that's who Jesus came to call, sinners. You know, it's really funny, one other thought on this, but in dealing with folks about their souls, inviting them to come to church and talking to them about salvation, you know, they never intentionally disclose anything about their sinful life, but if you hang around them for a little while and just visit with them, boy, you'll sure, you know, they can't hide that stuff for very long. You put a little paper towel over something stinky, but eventually the smell's coming out, you understand? And pretty soon you get the idea, boy, this guy is trying awfully hard to make himself look better than he really is. That's a waste of time. The Lord calls sinners. Mark chapter 2, verse 17, the Lord calls, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners, notice, to repentance. So the next thing we see in Mark chapter 2, verse 17 then is the Lord calls sinners to repentance. It's not just a matter of calling, but it's a calling them to repentance. You know, that's a very important doctrine in the Bible. That's a very important thing to understand. Jesus doesn't call sinners to remain. Jesus calls sinners to repent. Just because Jesus Christ was eating and drinking with publicans and sinners doesn't mean even for a minute that he condoned their sin. To the contrary, because he's God manifest in the flesh, he hated their sin. And I'll tell you something else, in case you didn't know it already. He hates your sin. Just read the Bible. Just pick up the Bible and determine, okay, I'm going to read it from cover to cover, and then you'll know what God thinks, and you'll know what Jesus Christ thinks of your sin. So he doesn't condone sin, and he didn't condone the sin of the publicans and sinners with whom he was eating. But listen, I mean, you have to understand that it was sin that sent Jesus Christ to the cross. If those sins and the wrath for those sins are what took out his life and caused him to die on our behalf, don't think for a minute that he cared anything about it. He hated it. But, by eating and drinking with sinners, you know what Jesus could do? He could convince some of them of their need to repent. You know, when you read the life of Jesus Christ, there are people that are getting under conviction in his presence and under conviction from the things that he says. And he deals with them about their sins. Even that man that was sick of the palsy, when they took away the tiles and lowered him down in there, the first thing that Jesus Christ dealt with that man about was not his palsy, but his sins. Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Mark chapter 2, verse 5. That sin problem, that sin issue, that repentance from sin, it's the main thing when dealing with the Lord Jesus Christ, when dealing with the call of Jesus Christ. Listen, not only did Jesus Christ try to convince some of the people that he was eating with of their need to repent, and he obviously succeeded in doing that, but he wants you to repent of your sin and turn to his righteousness. Don't think for a minute that we're just preaching this text so you can get a better understanding of Mark chapter 2, verse 17, or the episode of eating with publicans and sinners. This is about you. This is about me. Jesus Christ wants you to repent of your sin and turn to his righteousness. He wants you to be saved. He wants you to receive him. He wants you to look at your sin and realize how ugly it is. He wants you to look at his righteousness and realize how holy it is, and realize that his righteousness can be your righteousness if you will turn from your sin and receive him. And that way, when you get saved, and you will have recognized how wicked your sin really is, you know what? Then Jesus Christ will lead you to leave, this is so important, leave that old life completely and live among the righteous. You see, with a real good understanding of repentance, you pick up wherever you were and you get away from it. Let's say that you were an old drunk hanging around with a bunch of beer-drinking buddies, and, you know, that was your deal, whether you got drunk every night or just on the weekends or whatever the case may be. The Lord says to you, he says, you know what, that drinking is a sin. And I want you to repent of that, and I want you to come to me. And so you hear the preaching like you're hearing it now, and you realize your old mother's been praying for you for years and years and years, and you've been living in the sin of that rebellion against God, and the conviction of the Spirit of God comes upon you, and you realize, man, I need to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior and get saved. Hallelujah. You trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. You have now his righteousness as your current possession. He has taken away your sin, and you know what he wants you to do? He doesn't want you to go back to that beer-drinking crowd and go down to that old bar and get drunk again. He wants you to leave it, to leave that old life completely and live among the righteous. So the Lord calls sinners, and the Lord calls sinners to repentance. You see, when you understand in repentance how heinous the sins are that you commit, well, after you get saved and you have Christ's righteousness, you don't want to go back to all that stuff. You may have trouble in dealing with it and getting the flesh under control and all that other kind of stuff, but you don't want to go back there People have said to me, you mean to tell me I can just trust Jesus Christ, my Savior, and go kill somebody and I'm still going to be saved? You know what you missed out in that whole thing? Repentance. Because if you really understood that Jesus calls sinners to repentance and you repented of the sin in your life, the last thing in the world that you would ever want to do is go kill somebody. It is not even a rhetorical question. It's a foolish question. It means you don't understand repentance at all. You don't even understand the hatred God has for sin and the hatred he wants you to have in your own heart for your sin. So that's why he calls you to repentance, because once you figure that out, you don't look back at that stuff and say, boy, I sure wish I could get away with sin somehow and still be saved. That's the last thing on your mind. The Lord calls sinners. The Lord calls sinners to repentance. And the third thing we'd like to say about this text is the Lord doesn't call the righteous to repentance. You see what he said in Mark chapter 2, verse 17, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Listen, this is really important. Let's say that you have come to a place where you are saved and you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior and you're living for the Lord. Then there is no reason for you to keep repenting to get saved every week. Now, I realize in the context of Mark 2:17, he was suggesting to the Pharisees, since you think you're righteous, I'm not asking you to repent. I'm coming to these guys because they're sinners and know they're sinners, and I want them to repent. I realize that. But the truth of the matter is there are a lot of people who are saved. I mean, the Lord knows that they are his children. They know that he is their Lord, and yet they are hung in this a constant battle of every week or even every day of having to keep repenting of all their stuff, as if they don't, somehow or another, their salvation is weakened or they're not saved and they got to repent to get saved again. I was just talking to somebody not a week ago and said, you know, when I was young, I received Jesus Christ as my Savior, but I every week I was one of those people that just had to keep getting saved. Well, the Lord doesn't call the righteous to repentance. You are truly righteous when you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior because you have Christ's righteousness in you, and you are not going to get more of his righteousness by repenting more. You get it all the moment you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. Somehow or another, we think, hey, I'm going to really get better if I repent more. Listen, you're going to sin after you get saved. It's not what we want to do. Paul said, I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing, for the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. I find a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. Sad thing. Terribly sad thing. But you're going to sin after you get saved. And you know what the Lord wants you to do? He wants you to confess and forsake those sins in your life. Of course. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So, well, I don't understand that verse. I'll tell you basically what it means. It means you and God come to an agreement that the thing you just did is a sin. He's already forgiven you for that at the cross of Calvary. But what you do is you confess it and knowing the faithfulness of God, okay? And by confessing it, you acknowledge what it is so that you don't have to do it again. Okay? But don't think that you have to keep repenting because you haven't become perfect or lived up to the high standard that you've set for yourself. There are some Christians that literally drive themselves batty because they set this idea that they have to be perfect, or they set this idea that they have to live up to this great expectation, and every week they find that they are failing. And I'm going to tell you something. Continual repenting does not draw you closer to the Lord. You probably know that by now because you've been trying it. Continual repenting does not draw you closer to the Lord. It only makes you more consciously aware of your sins, your shortcomings, and your failures. There is no benefit to continually repenting of your flesh. You know why? Because your flesh is weak, and that's all there is to it. The Lord didn't tell you to keep repenting as a righteous person because of the shortcomings or the sins of your flesh. He said, mortify the deeds of your flesh. That is, get them under control by self-denial, through the Spirit of God and walk in the Spirit. So magnify God, magnify the Spirit, magnify the words of God, but quit magnifying your sin by going over there and going, "Oh my God, Lord, I'm sorry, I did all this again. It hadn't helped you up to this point. Why should it help you later?" You know why it doesn't help? Because the Lord doesn't call the righteous to repentance. The Lord calls sinners, we see from Mark chapter 2, verse 17. He calls sinners to repentance, but he doesn't call the righteous to repentance. I realize it, when you confess and forsake your sin, you may look at something and say, "Look, I've got to repent of that. I've got to quit smoking. I'm a Christian. I can't do that anymore." But if you smoke today and repent, and smoke tomorrow and repent, and smoke the next day and repent, you know what all you're doing? You're magnifying the smoking. You're not fixing the problem. Mortify the deeds of your flesh through the Spirit and walk in the Spirit. The repentance is doing you no good. You're just more consciously aware of your sins, your shortcomings, and your failures. And you know what you're going to do? You're going to weaken your faith, and pretty soon, you're going to wonder whether you're even saved or not. I've seen it happen over and over again, and it shouldn't happen to you. Okay, the Lord calls sinners. The Lord calls sinners to repentance, but the Lord doesn't call the righteous to repentance. You know what the Lord does? He calls the righteous to call the sinners. The Lord calls the righteous to call the sinners. You say, "Well, I didn't see that in the text." Yeah, well, just extrapolate it and consider some other verses that you've read. Jesus isn't here to sit down with publicans and sinners and eat and drink with them anymore, but you and I are. So once we get saved, the Lord wants us to do what Jesus did. He wants us to eat and drink. I'll say that in quotation marks for you because it may not be that you actually have to go out to a meal, but he wants us to be able to have contact with publicans and sinners so that we can, as ambassadors for Christ, beseech them in Christ's stead to be reconciled to God. In other words, when we get saved and we have Christ's righteousness in us, we don't go back and party with them as if we were still part of the old crowd. He wants us to repent and get away from that. But we don't become so separated from them that we can't reach them either. In other words, what you do is you make yourself available to meet them in the ordinary affairs of life, like eating and drinking, in hopes of leading them to the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord calls the righteous to call the sinners. You get the idea, "Well, I can't go out there and talk to anybody about the Lord, you know, because I'm holy and I'm liable to defile myself if I go in there and talk to those people." Don't you get like that? That's what caused the Pharisees all the trouble they had. No, you know, now you're an ambassador. Now you can beseech sinners in Christ's stead to repent, to be reconciled to God. And you do that by just picking up with them in their ordinary affairs of life. I mean, you'll see them at the restaurants and you'll see them at the store and you'll see them in your neighborhood and you'll see them at the school and you'll see them at your office and you'll see them in your family and you'll see them and you'll just run into them all over the place. Don't be afraid to do what Jesus Christ did and rub little elbows with them so that you have the opportunity to tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, that's so important. You know, a lot of times what happens is a person gets saved and they get so separated they become isolated and then they don't have any influence in the lives of anybody else they know because they're like, "Oh, bless God, I'm saved now and they're lost and I can't even look that way." Well, don't become a Pharisee, okay? I understand some areas you just have to be real careful. You can't hang around because the stuff will rub back off on you again. Yeah, you really don't want to go there. I agree with you. But you don't want to become so secluded that you're of no good to help other sinners come to the Lord Jesus Christ the way you did. So how do we wrap this up? Mark chapter 2, verse 17, "I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Let me just repeat the points and make a few concluding remarks. The Lord does call sinners, and when he's calling you, if you're not saved, brother, recognize this. You are a sinner. A no good, sorry, dirty, rotten sinner. I don't care if you're dressed in a three-piece suit and you got shiny shoes and slick hair and a six-figure income. You're a sinner, just like these publicans and sinners. And the Lord calls you to repentance. That is, he wants you to recognize the sin you commit in your life and agree with him that what you're doing is dirty, rotten, sorry, no good. And that he wants you to receive his righteousness and get rid of your sin and turn from it and not go back to it. And then when you are saved and you sin, he doesn't want you to go back there and wallow in the mud again. Oh, my God. You know, and just keep living a life where you're stuck in the merry-go-round of self awareness of your sin because you just keep beating yourself up over the fact that you're not perfect. You know, I want you to go in there. What he wants you to do is he wants you to go and call other sinners to the Lord. That's what he's calling me to do. Listen, he called an old sinner and he got me to repent. He gave me the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And here I am talking to you on the radio today, urging you to come to Christ like he brought me to Christ. Isn't that amazing? One beggar telling another beggar where he found bread. Listen, if you're saved, your life should reflect a noticeable change because Christ called you to repentance. That old stuff should be gone now or leaving. And if you're saved, there should be a peace and a calm assurance that you are truly now righteous and secure in Jesus Christ. That is, that you don't have to keep beating yourself up because you haven't achieved your standard of perfection. You ought to be able to rest assured with the righteousness of Jesus Christ that you are his child and you are saved now and you are righteous in Jesus Christ. That way, when you sin, you can simply confess that with the Lord and keep on going, growing in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then finally, if you are saved, there should be a desire in your heart to call other sinners to repentance. You know why? Because you've seen the benefits of the change in your life, and they are so drastic and so good, you want other people that you knew who are sinners to be able to have the same thing you have and rejoice over the same things that have happened in your life. We don't keep it to ourselves, and I hope you don't keep it to yourself. Undoubtedly, there's a sinner that you know who's come to mind now by the presence of the Holy Spirit in your mind, somebody that you could call up and say, hey, we ought to get together. There's something I want to tell you. And you know something? The Lord might actually use you to bring them to repentance. Amen.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Ranmorgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.